Well, we always would have suspected that there would be a dramatic impact on the VAT positions that the political parties took, but we haven't been able to quantify it until right now. Herman Pretorius joins us. He is with the Institute for Race Relations. They have just done a polling of the latest positions of South African political parties. And for the first time ever, the Democratic Alliance is ahead of the African National Congress. We'll find out more in a moment. Herman, this is pretty epic stuff if you want to step away from it. It's almost unthinkable in 1994 that a tiny little political party would overtake the mighty African National Congress. But from your latest polling, that appears to be the case. Give us the headline numbers.
Well, the headline can only be one thing, and that is that the DA, as you say, now on 30.3%, has overtaken the ANC on 29.7% for the first time in IRR polling history. Now, that is a slight lead, but a lead nonetheless. And as you say, something that might have been absolutely unthinkable 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even, you know, 2-3 years ago, if we think about the popularity that President Ramaphosa had when he came into office. But what is so incredible about this is we didn't plan on having an opinion poll in the field at the moment that the budget blew up in Parliament. But my word, what a coincidence that gave us unique insights into what South African politics could become if the type of debate that dominated Parliament comes to dominate our political landscape heading into the next election cycle.
Why do you do these polls?
Well, since 1929, we've been trying to understand South Africa. That's the whole point of the IRR, is we've been trying to understand the race relations of South Africa and what could ultimately lead to the maintenance of sound race relations. And over the years, we found not only that race relations have been solid and sound, but that South Africans share a lot of socioeconomic aspirations across racial lines. And I think this poll is just another dramatic manifestation of that. We do these polls to understand what is the public opinion thinking at a given moment? How does that impact our work? Do we need to talk about this issue a bit more, that issue a bit more, make the argument for classical liberalism, free market values on this issue or that issue? And generally, it just helps us inform the public, the world out there, and ourselves about what's really going on in the country. Because a lot of people think they know what's happening in South Africa, but it really is quite something to work for an entity that not only seeks to honestly understand it, but does this polling every year. And we ask the political questions, we ask the race relation questions, we ask the policy preference questions, but we publish the political ones in isolation in its own little report this time because they were so explosive. DA overtaking the ANC support among black voters falling from 50% to 37%, the DA's support among black voters going from 5% to 18%. I mean, this is unprecedented stuff.
I had a fascinating discussion with your colleague, Makoni Maja, last week, and in it, I opined, as many people who talk to me opine, that the DA needed a black leader to make any progress amongst black voters. And she kind of chided me by saying, hang on a minute, you might be thinking that way, but the population is not thinking that way. South Africans are actually getting over the whole race-based voting approach, and they're looking for other things like who's going to give us jobs, who's going to do better for the economy. Why are we continuing to be poor by following ideological ideas that are 30 years old? It seems as though she might have had an insight into what you've released, what you're releasing this week, or if not, that she's much closer to the pulse of the nation than most external commentators.
I think it's a bit of both. And to be honest, the Institute polling has been showing this fundamental, instinctive, moderate, non-racial South Africa to be out there the whole time. And it's been, I think, for the DA particularly, this breakthrough amongst Black support has been, they've been chasing it for 20 years, and they've tried various attempts at breaking through. I mean, under the leadership of Helen Ziller, there was this settling into non-racialism that the PFP and the DP had, but a sort of a multi-racialism that we are trying to do capable racism, if I could, you know, coin a phrase. It wasn't about not seeing the color of the people that we're dealing with and just treating them as individuals. It was about playing the race card, but playing it sort of constructively. And that led to the leadership of Musi Maimane that was controversially described by one of his predecessors as an experiment. But I think this has been a simmering assumption for the DA that if they want to break through and grow their support from Black voters, they needed to, quote unquote, do Black politics or, quote unquote, have Black policies. And I think this VAT issue, the crystallization that that brought to the debate is so powerful because, the budget, VAT, that is something that absolutely does not discriminate on race. And it was an issue on which you couldn't conceivably position whites on that side, blacks on that side, coloreds over there, and Asian South Africans there. It was just an instinctively, inherently, unquestionably race-neutral issue of aspiration of socioeconomic ability. And that has cut through. It has earned them the breakthrough that they've been trying for so long to achieve through what I would call, and what I think Makone would agree, superficial pandering means. And now we see that that was sort of all for naught. If we're going to be a non-racial country, as most people want us to be, if the DA is going to be a non-racial party, as it claims to be, well, it's about time that they fought and won on an issue of real non-racialism. And the VAC issue seems to have been that. It seems to have been this catalyst of turning long simmering frustration with the ANC into a real change. Because we must remember, this is the ANC that lost their majority because of NHI, because of expropriation without compensation, because of sluggish economic growth. And then the ANC went into the GNU, and instead of taking in a posture of humility and compromise and perhaps using it as an excuse to get back to Mbeki-era pragmatism, they doubled down. And the public started to see the GNU as just another continuation of the ANC, punishing the ANC for it. And then along came the VAT issue that just created this binary. And Black South Africans, for the first time, close to 20%, can now go, well, I am not the sum of my melanin, but the sum of my aspirations, my character, my values. I don't want to live in an economy that we have extortionate taxes. And that catalyzed a shift that I've never seen before, and a very promising shift showing that it's always been, as James Carville said in the 1992 American election, it's always been the economy, stupid.
Yeah, it certainly has. But let's just, well, in South Africa, it hasn't always been the economy, because the economy has been flatlining for 15 years. But it should, I agree, as from your perspective, it should have been. And I think the point here
also
is that
from
you were polling at exactly the time that the VAT confrontation was going on. How much of an impact would that have? And then if we look further, how does the DA retain its lead and how does the ANC rebound?
So I think you're absolutely right. And we say this in the polling report, that the polling happened at a unique moment when economic policy, socioeconomic policy, just broke through and defined politics. But if we look carefully at the last 30 years of democracy, the clues have always been there. At the IRR, we have one of our signature graphs, is a graph that overlays ANC support with GDP growth, with job creation, with a rollout of housing, electricity, and water services. And these lines correlate so beautifully. If you look at the 70% of the vote that the ANC got in 2004, we had a strong economy. unemployment was inching downwards, housing rollout, welfare rollout, it, all socioeconomic factors all aligned perfectly for Mbeki, not a much loved figure. So it can't have been his personal vote, his personal charisma, sort of Mandela-like, that carried the ANC to 70%. It was that at the time the economy was booming. Socioeconomic aspiration got a chance to breathe. People thought, my word, we can actually trust the ANC with these aspirations I have for me, for my kids, my loved ones. And that then got lost. And as that got lost, the ANC support continued to decline. And then the budget came up, and it was this bolt from the blue, this breath of fresh air for socioeconomic policy to just again shamelessly and in a binary way define the political question. So it's always been the economy for the ordinary people in South Africa, but it's been, I think, the politicians that have read the room incorrectly, thinking that South Africans are more obsessed with the sort of race divisions and the who's up, who's down, rather than can't we just have a rising economic tide? What should the DA do from this? How can it maintain its lead? It's not going to be easy. It really isn't going to be a walk in the park. No one should assume that this is the new status quo, irrevocably ANC DA fighting for 30% of or at the 30% mark. But it can be that if the DA grasps the moment to say, let's use the inspiration of the VAT discussion, let's use the socioeconomic potency to define the next election campaign. If the DA allows the ANC to do one of two things, to either redefine the political debate on its terms about wealth redistribution with racial undertones, or if it allows the ANC to get away with a shameless pivot to Mbeki-era economic pragmatism, I think we're looking at the ANC regaining the lead that they have just lost. But if the DA can maintain the idea that going to the ballot box, casting a vote, is the voter deciding for higher or lower taxes, if that could be the message that when you go into that booth, you pick up that little stubby pen or pencil and you cast a ballot, you're deciding the VAT increase or the VAT decrease, that then allows the DA to take this polling finding and transforming it into the reality of a new landscape. If they don't do that, this poll will be very interesting as an investigation into an alternative reality of what would to be happen or what were to happen if South African politics were driven by socioeconomic policy. But if they get to that point where politics is driven by that, then I see no reason why we can't maintain this level of electoral competition, with the DA being really competitive and the ANC really starting to clean up its act, if it wants to at all get back in the area of being South Africa's consistently reliable largest party.
Well, we've had on the screen perhaps the most important of the graphs that you have there. And let's just talk this through. This is your second polling since the national election, where the ANC came down from 57% to 40% of the vote. To see the ANC under 30% of the vote at this point in time is going to be sending all kinds of shock signals through Luthuli House. And to see the DA moving up at this point in time will clearly embolden it too. But what is interesting is immediately post the, well, 6 months after the May 2024 election, the ANC had actually gone up and the DA barely moved. So what happened there, and what has, taking the VAT out of it, what has happened subsequent to that, which has seen this dramatic change in fortunes? If we just put the VAT on one side, is there anything else that would have contributed to this?
Definitely. Overall frustration with the fact that ANC policy seems to dominate despite the GNU being widely popular. If we look at the polling, the GNU was, even before the election, South Africans considered it a desirable outcome. This idea of getting the parties to work together, this belief that a constructive relationship between the ANC and the DA could bring out the best in the ANC. that the GNU could actually help the ANC rediscover its pragmatism, its sort of policy framework that delivered massive economic growth in the first 10 years, where we saw the number of Black South Africans in employment double between 1994 and the 2010s. So there was this aspiration, this hope that the ANC in the GNU would listen, as it were, to the better angels of their nature, with the DA playing a powerful role in getting the ANC to do that, instead of a chastised, humbled ANC returning to a sort of pragmatism. We've seen the opposite, and we've seen NHI being pushed aggressively forward, despite not being a popular policy. We've seen expropriation without compensation, same story happening. We've seen a doubling down, a tripling down, a quadrupling down on BEE regulations and this new transformation fund announced along racial lines that simply do not register with the South African public as feasible solutions. So the ANC benefited from the GNU initially because there was this idea that, now we're going to get the crazies out of the room, the people who've been radicalizing the ANC, who've been dragging them from away from the pragmatic center. And then that turned out not to be the case. And the VAT issue just sort of broke through the sound barrier on that, crystallized it to show that sort of like Margaret Thatcher by 1990, the ANC has lost its connection to listen to the public. All iron ladies start to rust at a certain point. And when a political party as formidable as the ANC loses the ability to read what the public is telling them, you see this sort of electoral and political earthquake happening.
Thanks for unpacking that, because that would also explain why the PA and the IFP improved being part of the government of national unity, but have gone radically backwards after supporting the VAT hike.
Indeed, indeed. And they were prominent in that debate, where a party like the Freedom Front Plus, who was with the DA in opposing VAT, was a bit invisible in the debate, being the victim of just a DA discovering a stance it could hold unapologetically with confidence that it is now clear resonated with the public. If we look at what happened, especially also to MK and the EFF, election result down from election result by the end of last year because they were outside of the GNU, they were outside of this popular moderate mechanism for decision making, and then they put themselves on the right side of VAT. They see their support return to election levels. So almost every party has a story to tell here of what did they do with the GNU, what did they do with the VAT issue? And the voters saw that as an indication of who's really on quote-unquote our side, and it seems not to have been the ANC at this point.
What about Action SA? Because that's been a mystery in many respects, that the 2024 elections saw them falling sharply from where they were in the local elections in 2021, but they've bumped up quite happily or quite well, despite being part of the reason why the VAT increase is going ahead.
So I think we can look at two historic examples of small parties gaining the advantage or showing significant growth. The first one is the DP between 94 and 99. And then the second one is the PA between 2019 and 2024. What these two parties managed to do was project such prominence and relevance that the big players had to meet them on the battleground. And one sees that very clearly in the Fight Back campaign of 1999, where the DP deliberately wanted to position themselves as the other person in the ring, not just the ANC, no longer the National Party, but the DP being, the, as it were, anti-ANC. And they got that. They got the ANC to buy that it was now a contest between the ANC and the DP. And the same with the PA last year. They got the DA and the ANC to take them seriously enough to deal with them, to include them in aggressive messaging, so that the PA could ultimately see an almost 5,000% increase in its vote between 2019 and 2024. And Action SAF manages similar feat. They have managed to get the big parties to seem that they are responding to Action SA. This was prominence politics of a very high ability. Now, does that mean Action SA will maintain that level of support? Perhaps, possibly, but the first step in getting support is to be prominent, then to be relevant, then to be consistent. So they have gotten their prominence, they've gotten their relevance, at least now. The question is, can they now be consistent? Can they be a permanent player in terms of the power dynamics? But there's also, I think, something here that in consumer science and marketing speaks to this idea of mere exposure. People see things, and consumers and voters aren't always the most rational decision makers. They pick the product or the party that they've recently heard about. So well done to Action SA for being one of those parties over these last few weeks during the time of this survey. They've played the prominence game well, and they are the only party to, as it were, go against the pattern of seeing pro-VAT parties having their support fall. They've gone the opposite direction. Good politics. Now let's see, can they maintain that?
This is an interesting table that you included in your distribution of your report, where you have a look at black registered voters and who they would be voting for if an election were held today. The ANC dropping from, as you said earlier, 50% to 37%, the blue line being the polling from 6 months ago, the red line from where it is today. But there's no question that the big winner here is the Democratic Alliance, and the big loser here is the IFP. MK also doing better, as does the EFF. Could you just talk us through that, please?
Yeah, no, it is incredible. I think this was the moment when I actually had to put down the data and just sit back and understand that the DA has gone from having the equivalent of 10% of the ANC support among black voters to having 50%. That is an amazing, remarkable change for the DA to have accomplished. And it betrays the fact that so many people have been wrong about thinking that socioeconomic policy can't be the breakthrough issue. But the IFP and the ANC, the clear losers here of being on the wrong side of a bread and butter issue. Black South Africans, white South Africans, it doesn't matter. Bread and butter issues are bread and butter issues. And to have gotten this call wrong from the IFP might just be the interruption of a 10-year project of slow but steady regrowth. If I were the ANC, the most nervous party from this poll should be the ANC, but in second place should be the IFP, who've seen the gains they've made since 2016 wiped out essentially by one decision, one unpopular decision on a bread and butter issue. And to have MK and the DA in a close contest for the second position amongst black registered voters alone is just inconceivable if one were to assume the racial politics as the defining factor over the last few years. And I think the next slide, I hope you have it, is that by income breakdown. That is also an amazing piece of information to see that we've broken down our respondents into four income categories: under 2,000 rand a month household income, between 2,000 and 8,000, between 8 and 20, and 20 and above. And in three of the four income categories, the DA now leads. In households with under 2,000 rand a month income, the DA is now the most popular party. I don't think anyone could have predicted that. It is a breakthrough that the DA should be cherishing and building on, to say we are now the party, or we can become the party of the aspirant have-nots of South Africa. We can shake this idea of being a minority middle-class party.
It's an extraordinary table. 29% of those under 2,000 rand a month would vote for the Democratic Alliance versus 25% for the EFF, which you would imagine to be strong in that area. Perhaps the penny has dropped. And the penny is, if you have economic growth, then there are more jobs. If you do not have economic growth, then there are no jobs, or you're going to lose jobs. I wonder, though, Herman, was there anything in your polling which brought up the fight that South Africa has with the United States at the moment, given that the U.S. culture is so deeply embedded in so many parts of our society? Might this also have played a role in any of this?
That is possible. Unfortunately, we didn't poll for that. It is, of course, possible. I can't exclude it as a possibility. But what I would say is that it is unlikely for foreign affairs, international relations to affect the thinking of sub 2,000 rand a month households. If we just assume that the Maslow hierarchy of needs is accurate, we're looking at people who are struggling with steps 1 and 2 on that hierarchy, who don't have the luxury of considering Trump's latest decision on tariffs, or his latest attack on a political opponent, or his latest claim, false or not, about South Africa. So that is definitely possible. And I think if you look at the polling from the Brenthurst Foundation, and SRF polling as well, you see that this issue has cut through, and the blame seems to be landing mainly on the ANC. So that is, of course, another risk factor for the ANC, another issue they seem to be on the wrong side of. South Africans have always been moderate. We are not a heavily ideological country. And the DA has managed to get the bread and butter issues with that graph currently on the screen, showing that with bread and butter issues, you can maintain your base if you're the DA, but you can also grow your support from black voters 3-4-fold, which should terrify the ANC. If the ANC continues along this line of ceding the socioeconomic argument to the DA, they are handing the DA the weapons, the ammunition with which to end ANC dominance and the ANC status as South Africa's largest party for good.
I just want to end off with this graph again, go back to this chart, because as you mentioned earlier, at the previous polling, the Democratic Alliance, if you were a black person who was being asked, the DA would get 1 in 10 black people would say DA versus ANC. Now it's 1 in 2. 1 in 3. I can't quite get this, but it's 50% of where we were. So if you've got three black people who are being polled, then one would be saying today DA and two would be saying ANC. If 6 months ago, of 10 people polled, 9 would be saying ANC, 1 would be saying DA. That is a massive, massive swing. And I can see why you've put so much emphasis on the fact that South Africans appear to be losing this identity politics, or identity politics is becoming subservient to, what are my future prospects? What are my kids? Are they going to have jobs? How's my economy going to do? And I guess it had to, at some point in time, start registering.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite questions that we every few years ask South Africans is, do you want your child's teacher to be the same race as you, or doesn't it matter as long as the teacher is good? 90% of South Africans say it doesn't matter as long as the teacher is good. If you can trust your child's education to someone, not on the basis of their race, but on the basis of what they can add, the value they can bring, then you can trust the economy to a party on the same principles. We are looking possibly at the beginning of the end of apartheid era racial classifications, where impatience with the ANC has run out, and the willingness of voters to go shop around to places that they've never before considered shopping at, like the DA, is an exciting thing. But as I said before, this isn't the done deal. This isn't the end picture. This isn't the photo finish. This is just the start of what should be a political realignment based not on how different South Africans look, but on how similar they want their lives to be. Our socioeconomic aspirations drove the moment that gave us this poll. If it can drive the political debate going forward, we will likely see this sort of result become the new reality.
Herman Pretorius is with the Institute for Race Relations. And, I'm not sure whether we've seen a watershed, but it certainly does appear to be a move in a direction which is becoming increasingly embedded. The previous poll that we spoke to on BizNews was from the Social Research Foundation, which was shock horror. The ANC was down from over 40% to 32%. On this one, it's perhaps even more of a seismic shift, below 30%, but more so that the DA has now gone ahead. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.